Member-supported Jazz 90.1 proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Good morning, Rochester, and all you folks on the web. Yes, this is Saturday, so that means only one thing. You're listening to Soundbites, and I happen to be Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Dennis Worcester.
And we're here, folks, to take your opinions, questions, views, you name it. We got the answers. If not, we'll make something up, and, you know, who knows. But one thing I got to say right off the bat, you know, we're getting awful close. And I know you folks are probably tired of hearing it, but it's still the pledge drive going on. And we need you folks to, you know, give us a call. Matter of fact, we got a challenge again to beat the polka guys. We did a fantastic job last week. We over doubled what they did. But, you know, again, they're walking out here very smugly, and we got to, you know, curb that smugness. And, try to get, you know, you folks to call up if you can, and the numbers you should know by now are 966-5299, 1-800-790-0415, or, like most of you probably want to do on the web, and that is to go to www.jazz901.org and pledge securely. And like I say, any amount is the correct amount. There is no wrong amount, and it has a lot of benefits. One, you get to listen to great jazz in this program. Every Saturday, we're here 52 weeks out of the year. You get the membership card, which gets you discounts to various places around town, like Enright PC. It's a tax write-off. So you're winning there. And depending on what level you pledge at, you will get some great gifts. So, you know, if you have it in your heart, take the time and please, you know, pull out the checkbook or pick up the phone and give us a call. Again, at 966-5299, 1-800-790-0415. And, Steve, let's get to something in the news here.
Yeah, let's take the first story, which ties into our poll this week, that senators are questioning a cyber commander role. The main force of the U.S. Department of Defense's new cyber commander will be protecting military networks, their main focus. Not engaging in cyber warfare, just protecting military networks. And the nominee to head the organization said, Army Lieutenant General Keith Alexander is faced with questions about the U.S. Cyber Command's role during a Senate hearing. And said that the Cyber Command would work with the U.S. Department of Homeland Security to defend private networks, but his primary role would be to defend the U.S. military's corner of cyberspace. Alexander said that his main goal will be to significantly improve the way that U.S. military defends its networks. Senator Joseph Lieberman, an independent from Connecticut, asked Alexander how serious the attacks on U.S. military networks are, and Alexander answered, "We saw the attacks as very serious." Alexander also serves as the director of the U.S. National Security Agency. So how can he have two jobs there? That's not quite good. We've been alarmed by the increase, especially this year, both in critical infrastructure and within the nation and within the Department of Defense. So a lot of our government agencies are getting attacked cyberly. Still, some senators asked how far Cyber Command would be prepared to go to defend the military network. Attackers could be in one country and compromise computers located in a second country to attack our country. So where does the jurisdiction lie? So what is the ground we have to defend? Senator Mark Udall from Colorado Democrat asked. The server that's being attacked could be any number of countries, and the attacker could be in a completely different country. Raises some thorny questions. Alexander agreed, saying it's sometimes difficult to pinpoint where attacks are coming from, and we are trained for proportional and discriminate responses. There's a dangerous thing if I've ever heard one. Senator Carl Levin, a Michigan Democrat, questioned what authority Alexander would need to use offensive capabilities against a computer located in a neutral country. Such a scenario would be very complicated, Alexander said, but he would seek authority from his superiors if a counterattack was necessary. So our poll this week related to this is, how do you feel about a U.S. cyber command? Much safer, not much safer, no, or less safe, actually. And a fourth option, one word, boondoggle. So on our poll a week at soundbites.org, currently we have 42 people have voted, and the leading response with 23 votes is boondoggle. So apparently our listeners aren't very...
Not too supportive
and not too positive that such a thing will be good for us. So how do you feel about a U.S. cyber command? Give us a call, 966-JAZZ, or toll-free at 1-800-790-0415. So a cyber command. So there have been a lot of reports, rumors about a cyber warfare that we infected enemy computers with viruses. This cyber command is to defend us against enemy viruses. But again, it's very tricky because the attackers are so hard to find and they obscure themselves so well.
That rates right up there when Congress and the senators and all that were trying to say, well, we're going to put tight controls on the internet. It's like, yeah, right. What part of the World Wide Web don't you have a grasp on? There's third world countries out there that are going to sit there and say, well, you can't do that. And they're going to just thumb their nose up at you and say, yeah, right.
But there are cases. China is one of the big ones where they do block the things on the internet because the Chinese government controls all the internet service providers and they control all of the countrywide gateways.
I believe Australia is doing that too. They're trying to implement a lot stringent controls on what's coming through their pipelines.
Yeah.
Putting down some tight controls. So, it's some of the stuff which, in our country, freedom of speech and everything else and the adult content. As long as you're an adult, it's still fair game. Well, some places are trying to sit there and say, oh, nope, got to cut it all out. Well, then we get into, like we've discussed before, what about for medical?
Right.
You can sit there and have both sides of the fence.
Yeah, that was a big problem on AOL a few years ago, that they put themselves out as a family-friendly service, and so they were trying to censor. In fact, they do censor certain words in their chats and their email, and they tried to censor the word breast, and then the breast cancer awareness and breast cancer support groups were all getting flagged as being inappropriate.
Yep. I'll tell you what, let's go to the phone. We got Tom on the line. Go ahead, Tom.
This is Tom from NARC again about the notebook that didn't have a wireless connection.
Yep.
I found out that if I went anywhere else, like Wendy's or the library, the notebook works perfect. I don't have any trouble connecting to a wireless.
Good. So that means your computer's okay, and
it's the wireless in your house.
Well, I got in touch with Verizon, and they can't seem to make up their mind of what kind of a router or modem I need.
Well, you should just be able to get a standard DSL router hub modem.
Now,
and it's got the built-in wireless in it.
Now, can I connect just a router to my modem that I have?
Sure. Yeah, you can buy your own wireless network router and connect it to your internet service.
But you got to watch on some of these.
I can't seem to find anything
because of the way they got the
Windows 7.
Yeah, no,
the operating system doesn't matter.
It's a piece of
hardware that just sits there and runs.
But the biggest thing, though, in the newer routers is, the way they're pre-configured.
Some of them, there's only a few that says they're for 64-bit Windows.
The operating system does not matter.
It doesn't matter.
A router is a piece of hardware that sits on your network. You need no software to use it.
It doesn't matter how fast or how slow you're going. You could go.
You can connect to it with any operating system, with any browser, with any computer.
It has no factor on it.
Yeah.
Well, it's confusing, if I want to buy one. They haven't. They went through my notebook again for about 2 hours and didn't get nothing. And then they said that they wrote an order for a new router, modem router.
Yep.
But then the billing wasn't opened. They were supposed to call me back, which they never did. Eventually, I got back to a tech, and it took them a half hour to find that notation. And then he transferred me to the billing department, but, of course, they hung up twice. And then when I got to the guy, he says he has no idea what kind of modem rotor he's sending me. He may be sending me the same thing I got.
Well, that's the problem.
That's
with,
okay,
with,
though. I mean, you might just have a defective one. It doesn't mean you got to have a totally different model. It could just be a defective piece of equipment.
Okay, this is the second modem they've sent me of the same thing.
Does
I got a 7500 Wesky.
Does it work if you plug the wire into your computer?
It works if I plug a wire into the notebook.
Sounds like it's just the wireless.
Yeah, something of the wireless in that. So don't use that wireless router. Get your own.
Yeah, that's
one option. Yeah.
I couldn't figure out what to buy.
We like the Linksys brand. It's owned by Cisco, which is one of the premier routers on the internet. Virtually every big router.
160N or the 400N?
Yeah, any of them.
Any of them.
Yeah. Yeah. The big difference is how many wired ports they have. So if you're going to wire computers also, or if all you need is wireless, you can find those too.
The 160N would be a good model.
Right. Some of them also have USB ports for putting a printer onto, so you can print wirelessly.
Well, that's another
which is
thing
convenient.
On the cable. I can access my printers without any trouble from the notebook.
Right, right. That's a feature of the router. If it has a USB port for USB printers, and a lot of printers these days now are coming with Wi-Fi built
to
into
have
the
my
printer
desktop
too.
On, and then I can.
Well, then you're sharing it from your desktop computer, so you don't need to share it from the router.
Right, that works good.
Okay. Yep.
But, of course, I couldn't try it wireless because I haven't been able to get it wireless.
You can't get the wireless working, yeah.
At home. Yep. I can't get it home.
Well, that's a trick. And all we can tell you right now is, you know, wait until they send you another one, give it a shot, and let us know, okay?
Okay, I appreciate you giving me advice.
No problem. Sure. That's what we're here for. And, you know, we're here every week there, folks, for you. And, you know, right now we're still in the middle of a pledge drive. So if you would, please pick up the phone and give us a call at 966-5299 or 1-800-790-0415. We got sort of a little challenge going on with the Polka guys, and we'd really like to beat them another week. It's been kind of nice, you know, going around smugly saying, we beat the Polka guys.
We need a polka song for that, to say we beat the Polka guys. So it's always interesting. Let's take another news story while Dave is on the phone. In interesting news, Microsoft is refusing to patch infected XP machines. Microsoft has revealed in its latest round of patches won't install on XP if they're infected with a rootkit. So back in February, a security patch left some XP users complaining about endless reboots and blue screens of death. An investigation followed, and Microsoft discovered the problem only occurred on machines that were infected with the all-around rootkit, badly interacted with Microsoft's patch. So if you're already infected and try to install a patch, it often doesn't work. So what Microsoft is saying is that you've got to disinfect your machine before you can load these patches. Because one of the things a lot of the Trojans and rootkits and viruses do is they prevent the patches from being installed because they don't want to be cleaned off your system. The security update from Microsoft includes a package detection logic that prevents the installation of the patch on machines that are infected with this rootkit. So it's the solution is to clean your machine first. You can download the Microsoft malicious software removal tool separately, you can use the Security Tango pages that we have with super anti-spyware and malware bytes, anti-malware, to try to disinfect your machine before you can actually run the patches. And a lot of times, some of these viruses are so embedded into the Windows machines that shops like Dave and mine, we will actually take the hard drive out of that computer and scan it on another computer because the machine is so infected it can't be cleaned by itself. You have to clean it on another machine. So did you get caught by all those XP reboots on the last Tuesday patch? Give us a call. Let us know what's going on.
Nick just texted me. Of course, he's, you know, in droid jail.
Finally caught him for getting
his
droid.
They finally caught up with him. He was playing
excess
time on his droid. And they just hauled his butt in there, so, you know.
Saying droid too many times, Lucas people are after him for royalties.
So he said the first caller, it could be he only has a B router, and he's not getting doing B.
Yeah, that's an interesting point. There are several different flavors of B. The caller mentioned getting several different flavors of wireless. The caller mentioned getting a new N router. There's A, B, G, and N, and with N being the current standard. So, for example, if your wireless router is an older B router and your computer is only configured to do N, then it will not connect. Most computers are configured to auto-detect what the wireless network is and use them all. Most routers are configured to auto-detect and broadcast all the standards. But you never know what some configuration might be set to.
Yep. All right, we got another caller. Cheryl. Hello?
Yes.
What's your question?
First of all, I want to thank you guys for your show. I know you don't get thanks very often.
Well, I really appreciate that. Thank you.
I have a monitor question. When we turn our computer off at night, every night, but we leave the monitor on, so it just goes off when the computer turns off, and then it normally just comes right up when we turn the computer on. Recently, it's taking a really long time for the monitor picture to come up. When the computer first starts, the power light on the monitor is kind of blinking maybe every 4 or 5 seconds, like it's trying to come on.
Okay.
And it can take from maybe a half hour to, the other day it took an hour and a half, and then all of a sudden it's on.
Is the monitor dying?
Probably.
Yes. Or it could be the video card. Are you getting any beeps? In other words, when the computer comes on, granted the monitor, you know, you're not seeing anything on the screen, but, you know, you hear it sort of revving up, and you'll hear a couple beeps. They're called post beeps, just to let you know that it's like doing a system check. Do you hear those?
I haven't noticed, but the screen actually, you don't really see anything, but there's like a little flicker, like it's trying to do something.
Could be one or the other.
I wonder how old the monitor is. Is this an old?
It's kind of old. It's probably about 6 years old.
Do you have another monitor in the house?
Or another computer?
I thought about borrowing somebody's monitor.
Is it a tube monitor? Does it have glass in it? You know, is it one of the older style, like an old TV, or is it a flat panel display?
It's a flat panel. Yeah.
Okay.
One of the things we usually recommend is turn your monitor off and leave the computer on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You could have just worn it out by leaving it on all the time.
You could just you might find a shop that'll, you know, I don't know where you're located, but you know, you could just take it quick in and just say, hey, could you just see if this will boot up?
Or if you have a friend with a laptop. Yeah. To come over and plug your monitor into their laptop and see if it works. It was sort of the same issue of the previous caller. You've got to replace one of those to see where the problem is in the computer or the monitor.
Cheryl, where are you located?
Gates.
I can say if you want to stop by my shop on Monday, you know, and stop in, we could just do a quick test for you.
Okay, just bring the monitor.
Just bring the monitor and we'll take it quick. You know, I can quick hook it up.
Should she bring her video cable too?
That's a good point.
Bring the whole thing. It usually quite often they're permanently attached.
That's true.
In the olden days of tube monitors, it could take 5 or 10 minutes for a tube to warm up. LCDs are on instantly.
If you want, stop by the shop, just tell Sam, that's my office manager, tell her that, you know, we talked here on the radio, and you're gonna, because if I'm not there in the shop, which I probably won't be Monday morning, have her just quick check it out.
Okay.
I'll let her know.
I was thinking, I will do that. I appreciate that. I was thinking if it was the video card, the power light probably wouldn't blink, right, on the monitor. The power light would be on, but I wouldn't see.
Sometimes if it's having trouble receiving the signal, then yes, it would blink.
Okay.
Alrighty.
Okay, great. Well, I'll try that. Thanks a lot.
Okay,
that's the one nice thing about having a shop is we have extra monitors and we have extra computers to play with and swap parts around to see where the problems lie.
Yep, exactly. You know, and again, it's kind of a double-edged sword there, you know. Till you have it in the shop, you don't know what to do. And tell you what, that music tells us we got to take a short break. So don't go too far. We'll be back just in a few moments after some special announcements here that you want to definitely listen to, and you're listening to Member Supported Jazz 901.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on Member Supported Jazz 90.1.
Join us on Sundays 5 to 7 on Jazz 90.1 for Big Road Blues, an exploration of vintage blues spanning the 1920s through the 1970s. Tune in to Big Road Blues with host Jeff Harris as he digs deep into blues history spotlighting blues legends and forgotten blues heroes. Along the way, he'll fill you in on the stories and history behind the music. That's Big Road Blues every Sunday, 5 to 7 on Jazz 90.1 with your host, Jeff Harris.
America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, celebrating 20 years.
Grease Community Broadcasting Incorporated is proud to present Art Loves Jazz 2010, a gala fundraising event to benefit Jazz 90.1. This fifth annual fundraising event will be held Thursday evening, May 20th from 6:30 to 9:30 p.m. with great live jazz from Uptown Groove and the Bob Snyder Trio. There will be a silent auction, a live art auction, and great gourmet food. Art Loves Jazz 2010 will be held at Artisan Works, located at 565 Blossom Road in Rochester. Artisan Works is a not-for-profit community event space filled with art and other treasures from Rochester and around the world in its 60,000-square-foot gallery. Proceeds from Art Loves Jazz 2010 benefit Jazz 90.1. Tickets are only $30 per person and can be purchased by calling 585-966-2660. That's 966-2660. Or online at jazz901.org. Only a limited number will be sold, so get yours today. When you like the music you hear on Jazz 90.1, you want it to continue to be there for you the next time you tune in. And that's exactly what happens when listeners become members of Jazz 90.1. Membership ensures that Jazz 90.1 can continue to bring you the jazz you love. You might even call membership a kind of music insurance. So if you enjoy the music on Jazz 90.1, make it a policy to become a member or renew your membership by calling 966-5299.
Do you feel like some live jazz tonight? Then listen for the Club Calendar with Joelle Van Buren. Every day at 9:40 a.m., 2:40, 5:40, and 7:40 p.m., Joelle tells you who's playing jazz and blues that night and where. You'll always know where the jazz is when you check out the Club Calendar with Joelle Van Buren, four times daily on Jazz 90.1 and online at jazz901.org.
Hey, this is Derek Lucas, host of The Spectrum. Join me every Sunday night from 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
And I'd like to welcome you back to this edition of Soundbites. I happen to be Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Dennis Worcester.
Sitting in for Mr. Francesco, who, like we were saying before, is probably still sitting in the droid prison for excess use of his droid and downloading of apps and all that good stuff.
Yep. We should introduce Dennis. Dennis is the newly elected president of the Apple Cider Users Group. Presided over his first meeting as president this past week.
Yeah, I've learned that it's a lot different experience to be up in front of the group than it is to be sitting cheerfully in the audience.
Isn't that always a wild feeling?
Yeah, you're it's like air traffic control, trying to keep everything moving.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. I couldn't believe I did PC Cube for 7 years.
Yeah,
it's like no, never again. Matter of fact, the Kiwanis. My friends, because I belong to the Renequit or Kiwanis group, and they're saying, oh, well, we need you for an officer. Ain't happened. Been there, done that, doing it again.
I'm lucky to have a lot of great people on our board that make life easier for me, including our past president, who's been doing a fantastic job of ramping me up to all the responsibilities and things to remember and take care of and all the relationships that we have with all our outside vendors. And so far, it's been very rewarding. I've been a member of that group for 6 or 7 years now, and came at that right after I got out of RIT and was a member of their Mac user group for a long time.
Yep.
But it's been fantastic. I really encourage everybody who's even remotely interested in the Mac to come and check us out on the second Wednesday of the month.
Where is that again?
It's over at East High presently, and that's off of, let's see, Culver and Main.
Yeah, it's
right?
1801 East Main Street.
It's at 7 o'clock on the second Wednesday of the month.
Yep.
There's usually signs out front.
And then actually today after the show is the Apple Cider Q&A meeting.
That's right.
So it's a smaller group get together at the Visual Studies Workshop, corner of Princeton University, where we do some more dedicated Q&A.
Yep, if you bring the Q's, Steve will try and have the A's.
If not, like here, we make them up. Yeah. They won't know the difference, and you get them off the phone. All right, I'll tell you what. Let's go to the phone. We got Victor on the phone. Go ahead, Victor. Victor?
My problem is on Firefox, when I first started up, my homepage is USA Today, and the homepage comes up nice, but in the location bar, it's blank except for a grayed out search history. That's it. And the only way I can get the address in the location bar is I have to right click the under where my tabs are and put in new tab, and then like Sound Bites or USA Today will come right up. This only started a couple days ago.
Do you have the new 363 update?
The new 363,
Yeah, 363 came out early last week.
Yes, mm-hmm. I do.
Yeah, to fix some of the bugs in 362.
Features.
Yeah.
Undocumented features.
Yes!
But yeah, that's weird. It should display the address it's on in that bar.
Yeah.
One thing you might want to check is in your Firefox preferences, take a look at your homepage setting. What may accidentally be set, because I've seen this happen before, is you've got your homepage, you know, yahoo.com, return. So what's happening is it's showing you a blank line because there's a return stuck in there. You may want to try erasing the entire URL from that homepage setting and then retyping it.
Right. Oh, okay. I never thought about that. Okay. That's the tools options you're talking about, right?
I think so. Mm-hmm. On the Mac version, it's preferences general.
Yeah, it shows tools options. It says it shows homepage, and then it says it's got the USA Today
and
site in there.
Does it show the whole URL in that area?
Yeah, it says HTTP, you know, forward slash, all that.
Yeah, you might want to try deleting all of that and then retyping it or hit the use current page, and it will use the current URL that it's found.
Okay. All right, I'll give it a try.
Sure.
All right, thank you.
Yep, thank you very much.
And that's a tip for a lot of people. When you get your browser, I think the IE browser defaults to the MSN network. The Safari browser defaults to the Apple Hot News
Hot
page.
News, yeah.
You can change that default homepage in the preferences of that browser. So you can change that to whatever page you like to go to first.
Right.
You know, some people like the CNN news portal or they like Google because they always go to the search something.
Or the local weather. I know my wife's always interested, at least during the winter, in knowing if the schools are closed. So she'll wake up at dark 0:30 in the morning and double check and make sure that the schools are open or closed on days.
And the kids are debating whether we do a happy dance.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, cute. Got to go to school. All right. Tell you what, we got another question here. We do take your questions via email. So one here is from Geraldine from Rochester. Can't dance the tango. Stinger is not free each time I download from the site. I already have McAfee antivirus protection. The same with Malwarebytes. Everything, it says it's free. Well, one thing, now here's the thing. Stinger, I don't think, has been updated.
They just did a week or two ago.
Oh, did they finally? Because up to that point, it hadn't been updated in over a year. Now, here's the thing with Stinger, folks, and let me just make this clear. If your antivirus software is up to date, here again, if your antivirus software is up to date and it's updating, you do not have to run Stinger.
Yeah,
Stinger is a limited group of files.
It's specifically designed to attack viruses that disable your antivirus and then prevent your antivirus program from updating itself. So if your antivirus program is updated, that is, the virus definitions are no more than a day or two old,
mm-hmm.
You probably don't need
Stinger,
to run Stinger.
Yeah, Stinger is not needed.
Stinger is still free. The last update was 4.15, so they just updated it since the last week's show, too. And it is still free. One of the problems is there is a fake Stinger. In fact, there are several fake Stingers in the wild. So you may be ending up at the fake Stinger page that wants to steal your money to give you a fake program. Let me check the link. The link to Stinger is vil.nai.com/vil.
Yeah, well, we got it off of our webpage.
Yeah, let me make sure the link on the Security Tango page is right. Because if you're just Googling Stinger, you may end up with the wrong program.
Oh, matter of fact, you know, that's the other thing I got to mention. I had somebody call the shop again when they're doing the search for the Security Tango.
Mm-hmm.
Evidently, there's another site around, and they charge them I think it's like $29.95. I don't know what the heck it's for. And they called and said, I didn't get my CD. And we go, huh? So Sam was looking through all the records and where did you go? And it turns out they're going to this other site and they got charged $29.95. And it's like, no, Security Tango is only $5 if you come into the shop, $7.50 if you want it mailed to you. Well, I want my money back. I don't have it. It's not, you didn't go to the right site. So make sure you, you know, double check what you're clicking on, folks.
One of the very tricky things on the internet is if you spell something wrong, you can get to the wrong page.
So if you
spell security wrong or you spell Tango wrong, you get to the wrong page. And there's a lot of companies, a lot of bad guys will create fake pages with misspellings.
And that's why you're safer, as we've told folks time and time again, just go to soundbites.org. That's SoundBites.org. And from there, you can get to the other links. You can get to, you know, the stream here that you can see us on Ustream, see us live here in the studio. We've got the archives of all our old shows.
There isn't a link to Stinger on the Windows Waltz. It says to run it, but there's no direct link.
Oh, so he took it off.
So,
because again, that is...
Oh, there it is. It's down at the bottom. It's not in the Less Dance up on the side where it lists all the programs.
Okay.
It's not listed
down
there,
the bottom. You
but it's listed in the instructions.
You have
yeah.
to do that dangerous thing called scroll.
Scroll down, yeah.
If it's not in the front page, they usually forget it and go on. Oh, I didn't see that. Did you scroll down? Oh, I have to? Well, duh. So hopefully that answers your question. You know, because she did say she's got her McAfee on there, and it's got the protection on it. And that's all basically what Stinger is doing, folks. Again, in a nutshell, it's a short list of files that it goes through and checks. But if your antivirus is already updated, it's already checking for that whole list.
And you probably don't need to run Stinger because you don't have one of the viruses that disables antivirus.
That's one thing you can safely avoid if you have your antivirus updated. So much for that one. You got another news?
Let's talk about the iPhone. Mark Fiore, a Pulitzer Prize winning artist, can't get his iPhone cartoon app past the Apple satire police. So last week, cartoonist Mike Fiore made internet and journalism history. He's the first online-only journalist to win a Pulitzer Prize. So his cartoons are only available online. They're not available in print. And so he's the first journalist to actually win a Pulitzer for an online-only cartoon. So he took home the editorial cartooning prize for his animations he creates for SF Gate, which is the website for the San Francisco Chronicle. He's been running syndicated businesses. He sells his Flash cartoons over the internet. And he submitted an iPhone app of his Flash cartoons. Last December, Apple rejected his app, which was called News Tunes, because it ridiculed public figures, which is a violation of iPhone developer program licensing, which bars any apps whose content, in Apple's reasonable judgment, may be found objectionable. For example, materials that may be considered obscene, pornographic, or defamatory. So basically, he was making fun of political figures, and the Apple rejected his app. Then he wins the Pulitzer Prize for his cartoons, and Apple said, "Why don't you resubmit that app again?" And this week, the app has been approved. So now you can buy News Tunes in the App Store and be able to see his cartoons in its own app. And this isn't his first editorial clash with Apple. Last year, he released an app called Bobble Rep, which was political caricatures by Tom Richmond. So he had an app that was also rejected for political cartoons. Daryl Cagle runs a cartoon syndication site with over 900 newspaper subscribers, had a similar battle with Apple last year, waited for months to before his application was allowed in. So it's interesting that Apple's trying to be the morality police. They don't want porn. They don't want objectionable material. They don't want obscene material. But then how do you draw the line? You know, if someone makes a political caricature of you, you would be offended by it. So does that mean that no one is allowed to see that program?
Yeah,
really.
Apple's really interested in having as much control as possible over the entire experience from the moment you walk into their store and buy their equipment to what you download from their electronic store and the apps that you run.
Well, that's always been true from day one. I mean, on all their machines.
That's pretty much true of any company. You know, they don't want their company brand to be besmirched. So if someone gets offended by an app they buy in the Apple store and sues Apple, it's like suing Walmart. Mm-hmm. Because the record you bought was obscene.
Yeah.
But, you know, people have done it.
Well, a lot of developers are saying, you know, Apple, if you want to have this level of control, that's great. But, you know, we have to invest weeks and or months of our life writing apps for your store. And if it's going to get kicked back at us, then we've, you know, essentially wasted all that time because we can't turn that into money. And what I think they're really looking for from Apple is, look, if you want to be this strict about it, that's cool. But be sure to outline and publish the rules that you're using to do that so that we can know in advance if our efforts will be fruitful.
A level playing field is what
you're... Well, and that's sort of the problem. Oh, you threw that one away. No, it's all right. If Apple finds it obscene, objectionable, or defamatory, well, what some people find obscene is completely different than what other people find obscene.
Those are all really subjective terms.
Yeah.
Well, like we said before, you know, as far as squashing the content of the internet, trying to decide, you know, what you can see and can't see. And medical versus just straight porn. I mean, you know, trying to go both sides of the fence.
We've heard some interesting stories from photo developers, you know, the photo kiosks, you know, to take your film to get developed, were art students. When they go to pick up their photos, the police are there waiting for them because, you know, you do nudes in art class. And some overzealous, you know, film developer, or some, you know, really draconian rules, you know, when you're developing this film, if you see a nude figure, you have to call the police.
I've heard some instances at some department stores, you know, you go into their photo department to get things printed, they won't even let you print it on paper if they deem it's too professional looking, because they're afraid that you might have ripped off someone's copyright.
Yeah. You don't want to steal something.
But it makes sense.
But if you're just a talented guy taking Christmas photos of your kids and you just happen to be better than average.
You know what? Then they turn around also. Now, how many folks out there haven't had this done? That your parents, when you were a kid, you know, either took pictures of you in the bathtub or sitting on a blanket nude. Now you can get turned in and arrested for that because you're taking child porn.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's scary, you know, and it's, you know, not that I condone it, not one bit, you know, everybody knows that's been listening for years, my stance on that, you know, I'll turn in my own family members if I found that type of stuff. But
I was just trying to go to, there's a website called This Is Photobomb. And it's funny pictures that people have taken with crazy things in the background.
Right.
You know, you're taking pictures of your friends in the bar, and so one of the other guys in the background is, you know, holding his fingers up to your head.
Have you ever gone to the Walmart one?
Yeah. PeopleofWalmart.com.
People of Walmart. Oh.
But the This Is Photobomb is blocked by the school here for pornographic content. And very, very, very few pictures. In fact, none of them are what I would consider pornographic. But someone at the school thought they were, and so now the kids can't get there.
Well, you know, like we say, it's double-edged sword, folks, and that music means that we got to take a short break. But, hey, if you got computer questions, this is the place to call on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Got a computer question? Call the boys now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299 or toll-free 800-790-0415. Online at soundbites.org. Soundbites continues next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Supporting Jazz 90.1 is as simple as 1, 2, 3. 1. Decide how much listening to Jazz 90.1 is worth to you, considering the great jazz music, live DJs, live jazz information, local traffic and weather. 2. Call 966-5299 or visit jazz901.org and make a pledge. 3. Sit back and enjoy the good feeling you get from keeping jazz on the radio, alive and well in Rochester on Jazz 90.1.
Helping you with your computer questions for over 20 years. Soundbites on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Greece Community Broadcasting Incorporated is proud to present Art Loves Jazz 2010, a gala fundraising event to benefit Jazz 90.1. This fifth annual fundraising event will be held Thursday evening, May 20th, from 6:30 to 9:30 p.m., with great live jazz from Uptown Groove and the Bob Snyder Trio. There will be a silent auction, a live art auction, and great gourmet food. Art Loves Jazz 2010 will be held at Artisan Works, located at 565 Blossom Road in Rochester. Artisan Works is a not-for-profit community event space filled with art and other treasures from Rochester and around the world in its 60,000-square-foot gallery. Proceeds from Art Loves Jazz 2010 benefit Jazz 90.1. Tickets are only $30 per person and can be purchased by calling 585-966-2660. That's 966-2660. Or online at jazz901.org. Only a limited number will be sold, so get yours today.
Hi, this is Herb Alpert. Did you know that April is Jazz Appreciation Month? I've been inspired by great jazz musicians such as Louis Armstrong, Clifford Brown, and Miles Davis. Let jazz inspire you. Check out a jazz club. Read a book. Buy a CD. Take a child to hear a live jazz concert. Jazz, born in America, enjoyed worldwide. For further information, visit smithsonianjazz.org.
What do you love about the radio?
I just like the variety, because it can put you in different moods and you don't know what to expect. I think my favorite part is you don't know what to expect. So I always get excited when a song is over, because I'm excited for what the next song is going to be.
New artist Caitlin Crosby loves radio.
Still have my heart. You still have my heart.
Discover Caitlin Crosby and other new artists where it's good to be heard. Radio. Always something new and fresh, always free. Go to RadioHeardHere.com.
Hello, this is Joelle Van Buren. Join me weekday mornings from 6 till 10 on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
And we welcome you back, folks. Yes, this is the Saturday edition of Soundbites, and I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Dennis Worcester.
And we are here to answer your computer questions. And again, want to remind you folks, we still are into the pledge drive. And if you would, please give us a call at 966-5299, 1-800-790-0415, or go securely on the web. Rob is just sitting there waiting along with a few other folks to take in your pledges there at www.jazz901.org. Like we've told you week after week, folks, we are member-supported. That means we get no bailouts. We have no money that just automatically comes in every year. We have to come to you folks two times a year. It's just two times a year. We ask you to open up your hearts and help keep a great jazz station going. Rob went out on a limb and kept us here, or actually brought us in. We're coming up on a year this June. And, you know, we like to make them proud by saying, yeah, you brought us on, and we've got some great listeners out there, and they love supporting Soundbites and the jazz radio station, because it's not only these type of programs, but, you know, you look at the schedule, they've got quite a variety of jazz music. And you might want to really check it out and have some great listening. It's not your typical old-style jazz and that type of stuff. So give it a listen. And if you can, pick up the phones, 966-5299, 1-800-790-0415. We'd love to hear from you. Or otherwise, call those numbers if you got a computer question, because, you know, hey, that's what we're here to do also. And with that, I'm going to go to another question here, because it's more or less related. We have Brenda Dean from Fairport. Had a question about Windows 7. Do you recommend the Tango for that version of the OS? Hard answer. Yes.
Yeah, most of the programs on the Tango have been updated to work with Windows 7. Windows 7 has some built-in security, which helps a lot. The built-in firewall is pretty good. The user access controls are pretty good for preventing the bad things from getting in. And now the Microsoft Security Essentials is actually not a bad antivirus, anti-spyware program to be able to download. It's interesting to see what's going to happen in the antivirus world with Norton and McAfee selling antivirus software. There have been free versions. We've recommended AVG and Avast free antivirus in the past. But now Microsoft has their own antivirus suite that they are giving away for free. And we'll have to see what Norton and McAfee do to try to combat that.
Hold on a minute. I got to check something out. Doug, you there? Nope. Doug, if you would, please call me. I still forgot to turn off.
Too many buttons.
Yeah, the one button here. And
well, it looks like Mission Control over there. I mean, it's pretty complex.
Well, it's rather it's unique. And we're sitting there trying to transfer folks right now that are calling and pledging. So,
at commercial radio stations, they would pay a guy to stand at the board and push all those buttons. But here at our non-commercial Jazz 90.1, we do everything ourselves.
Yeah, hey, it's live and without a net. If you folks don't believe it,
pick up the Ustream is running.
Yeah, we should tell folks.
How do we get to that, Steve?
Yeah, how do we get to Ustream? If you go to soundbites.org, right on the front page, let me make sure the link is up. It's supposed to automatically go there. We have 13 people watching on the Ustream right now.
Hey, everybody.
Hey, everybody, and wave to the camera. Let's see. On soundbites.org, if you scroll down a little bit, the live audio stream, which is put out by Jazz 90.1 itself, and we also have the live Ustream video, which I think Nick can take the show cam off because we stopped doing the show cam. Oh, and it's got my face on it. That's all right, Nick, kill the show cam page. that's when we were doing the still cameras. So now we've got the live audio feed, the live video feed at Ustream. And that link is ustream.tv/channel/sound-bites-radio. Yep. So it's easier to go to soundbites.org and click the Ustream button.
Yeah, and just go there. And if you want to be, you know, for a scary picture, you know, you can sit there and see us live here.
Yep.
And we even...
And that picture is the entire studio.
It's true.
And the other thing, though, folks, is we also have the archive of these now. They're starting to...
Yep. Yeah, we're saving all of the past video streams are available for watching on Ustream. And also I've started doing our Second Life broadcasts, capturing it and sending it into Ustream as well.
We weren't on Second Life this past Friday. I more or less made an executive decision, take the weekend off. Of course, I was stingy because I was working on a build for that we're sponsoring. Soundbites is sponsoring this one contest in this place called Dreams. Hmm. And it deals with folks with ADHD and other learning disabilities and that type of stuff.
Why don't you explain Second Life a little
bit? Yeah. What Second Life is, folks, is just like we come here every week to you, you know, bringing and answering your computer questions. Every week we go to it's a free program that you can try out. And it's a three-dimensional world that you can go to on your computer. You create an avatar. And it literally is a whole different world out there that you can, discover. I mean, Ben and Jerry's is there. You know, most companies and organizations are there big time. And it's a lot of fun, and there's some great support out there. But every Friday night at 6 o'clock SL time, that's they're on the West Coast, but we do it at 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. We go to the Soundbites Island, SIM area, by... Larry Dugan, who runs the Finger Lakes Community College, he gave us a small portion, said, here, you guys can use this and do your sound bites from there. So we literally, every Friday night at 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, are there answering people's questions. Now you sit there and say, oh, what's so big about that? We literally get folks from all over. I mean, we got folks in Omaha, Nebraska, South Carolina, Texas, Oregon. I mean, you know, they are all over the world, England. I mean, there's Australia, the Netherlands. His dad's from the Netherlands and all that have been coming in. So we get quite a group of folks. And this is live. You know, there's no delay in everything else. It's live and quite a unique feed.
It is a virtual Second Life.
Yeah, exactly. So if you got some time, check it out and, see what's there. But it's fun, you know, and we have a lot of fun, and it's for great cause on some of this stuff.
Mm-hmm. You put on your best pair of wings and stop on
by. You can fly. You can literally fly all over the place, and the creativeness, though. I mean, the folks, some
was
of the
that
stuff.
Wayun had his dragon avatar last
oh,
week?
Oh, yeah, that's the only thing
huge.
Wayun has ever in.
Yeah.
Oh, he's mega dragon.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you can be just about anything you want, folks. It's a lot of fun, so you might want to check it out. And tell you what, we've got a caller on the phone here. Doug, go ahead, Doug. You had a question.
Good afternoon. Thank you very much. I have an old Dell Inspiron laptop and an original iMac A.
Wow.
That I want to get rid of.
Okay.
Apple offers free recycling, so I can get the iMac A out of here. I bought a new iMac.
Congratulations.
Thank you. The question I have is, what's the easiest way to render it stupid? Do I drop it in the bathtub unplugged? How do you wreck the memory?
Sure.
So prior to donation or pickup by a recycling firm.
Well, there are a couple of different ways.
It depends how familiar you are with tinkering in the computer. If you just take the hard drive out and keep the hard drive.
Sure.
And then donate the computer. Because whoever you donate the computer to may want to refurbish it and give it to students or, I'm getting some weird feedback here. There are student groups in the area. Edison Tech locally will take old computers and they tear them apart and use them for student instruction. So if you just take the hard drive out, then no one can ever get to your data. And just sit that on the shelf and keep it somewhere. We hear a lot of stories about taking a drill and drilling some holes through the hard drive so the data can never be recovered from it.
I use a 20-pound sludge.
Yeah.
On the Dell, it's easy. Flip that over. I imagine the hard drive is really held in by one little door with one screw, typically. And from there, you can access it. It's about the size of a deck of playing cards, maybe not quite as tall. On the Rev-A iMac, the hard drive is much deeper inside the machine.
There is a program for Windows called Derek's Bootenuke, DBAN, that will, you download it on another computer and make a floppy or a CD.
CD,
that will boot the PC and erase the hard drive so securely that no one could ever get it back again.
Right.
And that way the computer is still intact and you don't have to tear it apart. On the Macintosh, you can do the same thing with Apple's Disk Utility.
Mm-hmm.
There is a secure erase command that basically will overwrite all of the data on the disk up to 35 times, which is DES standard. That takes about a week.
Well, on a Rev-A iMac, you know, that's 10 years old, so it probably only had, a 2-gig drive, maybe?
Yeah.
So that may be slightly faster.
Yeah,
but,
so if you still have the system disk that it came with, which is always tricky on older machines, you can boot that system disk, run the disk utility, and erase the hard drive. And one of the options in disk utility is to zero format. You can write zeros, which is usually enough to thwart most people.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can do a secure erase, which then writes zeros and ones and zeros and ones, rewriting over and over and over again, which renders all the data completely unrecoverable.
But I want to congratulate you for keeping that out of the landfill. That's fantastic, especially the Rev-A iMac. You know, 10 years ago when we were using tube monitors that had a lot of lead shielding in them, and that lead can go into the water table if things are inside landfills, and keeping it out of there is really great.
So hopefully that answers your question.
Thank you so much.
Yep, thank you.
Bye.
Bye. Let's see.
It's also possible if you
it
have
had to be
a,
had to be at his end.
His,
it sounded
his
like
head
you
was
two
feeding
guys.
Back.
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
Like our one ad says, speakerphones don't make good.
Yeah. It's also possible if you have a degausser. I still have one lying around from my videotape days where I would erase bulk erase videotapes with a degausser.
Now you might need to explain.
What
that is. That's a big technical term.
Right.
Which very seldom do you use anymore.
No.
I mean, on
right.
Flat panels.
Yeah, flat panels don't need it.
So the degausser puts out a big magnetic field, right?
Carl Friedrich Gauss.
Old Carl.
Right, a Gauss is the
unit. I knew him back when.
Yep. The Gauss is the unit of electromagnetic field strength.
So what do you use this for, Steve?
If you remember in the olden days when you turned on your CRT, it made this boom, and you could see the screen shake.
Sure.
That was a degausser built into the CRT, and that what it does is it wipes the electric charge from the computer, from the monitor, so then it can display the screen properly. So magnetic tapes, videotapes, are magnetic tapes, and you could buy a bulk eraser that was just a giant magnet, and it put out this huge magnetic field to erase that tape in one shot instead of taking the 3 hours to erase your videotape or however long it took through the VCR.
So you would do that with a magnetic hard disk,
with
too?
A magnetic hard drive,
or
yeah.
floppies, or
flat,
whatever.
Right, so magnetic media. If the magnet is strong enough, it will really scramble that data and make it unrecoverable,
right.
And quite often make the media itself unusable. There's something on hard drives called hard sectors that are magnetically part of the mechanism.
They're imprinted.
Yeah, they're imprinted.
Yeah, I can remember we used to have a Kodak. you know, take the big Mylar tapes
yep.
that we'd run it, and we had this huge magnet. You could just bring it over, plop it on it,
yeah,
turn the switch on for
boom.
It just
yeah, you hear
and
that.
Then
yep.
erases yeah. the tape.
So if, yeah, you
make
gotta,
sure you don't have anything metal in your pockets
yeah.
when you use that.
yeah, if you got a two-hour
not good, not good.
Yeah, you got a 2-hour you got a 2-hour videotape. If you want to erase it, it takes 2 hours
mm-hmm.
or about 10 seconds with one of these magnetic degaussers.
So you don't use those anymore, Steve? What do you?
I still have one lying around.
You know, why did I not
left over from my pile of VHS tapes?
Why am I not surprised?
If some of the things you could do with CRTs and televisions, if you had a little magnet, you know, like a little refrigerator magnet.
Yeah, you could make the rainbow.
You make the rainbow effect on your television.
My high school teachers hated that.
Just don't leave it on the TV. You remember the little magnetic letters you play with as a kid?
Sure.
I had
spell out things on your television, leave them there for a few hours.
Yeah.
They won't go away.
I had a client. His son thought he was being really cute because his wife had gotten him this brand new gateway.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, back then it was the 17-inch tube
sure.
was really something nice. So he put his magnetic letters and put Happy Birthday, Dad.
Oh, no.
And he taped them to the CRT. So when you turn it on, turn it back in, there's a ghost image of Happy Birthday, Dad.
Oh, no. So typically, if something like that happened, you could usually hit the degauss button, and it would attempt to clear that as much as possible, but not always.
Not always.
On this one.
It could stick on there forever.
You know, and trying to explain to Gateway what happened. You know, believe it or not, they actually, this is back in their heyday,
right.
Took it back.
Wow.
They said, sorry, we didn't want to ruin your birthday.
User abuse is usually not covered by warranty.
No.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they always talk about accidental abuse. What about
intentional abuse? I ran it through my snowblower. Hey, can I have a new iPod?
Yeah. We had a kid do that. He bought an iPod and ran over it with his bike, and it broke, and he came back
Shocker.
And wanted to exchange it. And he said, well, why'd you run over it with your bike? I wanted to see if it would break. Well, it did.
What'd you
Congratulations.
Learn?
You now own a broken iPod.
Have you seen those BlendTech guys? I mean,
oh,
come
yeah.
on.
Oh. Will it blend? There's another one. They do commercial shredders, and they have one that can shred cars.
Really?
And they have this really cool video on their website with an old hippie drives up in a Beetle and parks in the president's parking spot. And and so they grab a forklift, pick the Beetle up, and throw it in the shredder and shred the Beetle.
Wow.
Cool.
Industrial
shredder. Yeah, but I still can't get over the idiots. And they, you know, they really glorified it. Was those idiots got the new iPad.
Yeah, the top on YouTube now.
Turn around and smash the heck out of it.
There was a kid. If you watch the whole video, it's very, very, very painful to watch this video. Near the end of the video, the kid with the baseball bat says, "Oh, let's do yours too," and reaches for another bag with another iPad in it.
So uh-huh. the video cuts
and
out.
That kid runs away.
Yeah. Hello. All right, folks. That music tells us we got to stop for the top of the hour. News and or announcements. I shouldn't say news. No news here. The only news we have is the news that we read on some great computer stories going on. But we invite you to pick up the phone and dial 966-5299 or 1-800-790-0415 with your computer questions. This is member-supported Jazz 90.1. Be right back.
Computer talk you can understand. More Sound Bites is next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
America's longest-running computer show, Sound Bites, the answer to your computer questions on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
WGMC Greece, Rochester.
A public service of the Greece Central School District.
Jazz 90.1.
Streaming online at jazz901.org.
Hi, this is Stanley Clark. April is Jazz Appreciation Month. Did you know that Billy Strayhorn wrote Take the A-Train when he took the subway line to meet Duke Ellington for the first time? That's what jazz is all about, making something wondrous and unique from the ordinary and the structured. Try to write a jazz poem, sing along with the radio and improvise, or dance to jazz music. Enjoy. Jazz made in America, enjoyed worldwide.
Jazz 90.1 appreciates your support through membership. But did you know you can support Jazz 90.1 in other ways as well? For example, by donating your old vehicle. When you donate your old vehicle to Jazz 90.1,
We receive cash, and you get the tax deduction. We even come pick it up. To find out more, call 966-5299. When the time comes to change vehicles, think of Jazz 90.1 and call 966-5299.
Hi, this is Al DiMeola. Did you know that April is Jazz Appreciation Month? Did you know that jazz represents the cultural heritage of the United States? It has its roots in blues and ragtime and then swing, bebop, fusion. So celebrate the glorious music called jazz. Go to a jazz concert. Explore a new era or musician. Go dancing to jazz music or just jam with your friends. Jazz made in America, enjoyed worldwide.
Hey, honey, she's all fixed. Want to go for a spin?
Sure. Honey, what's that in the back seat?
Oh, that's just the 23 pieces I had left over.
Time for a new vehicle? Well, Jazz 90.1 would love to have your old one. Just call 966-5299. Jazz 90.1 will pick it up, plus you'll get a tax deduction.
Is that 966-5299?
Yes. Donate your old vehicle to Jazz 90.1.
Honey?
I'm already dialing.
Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Get online now. Call 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
And we welcome you back to this edition of Soundbites. And I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Dennis Worcester.
And we're here to take your computer questions. So pick up the phone and dial 966-5299, 1-800-790-0415. And like we've been saying, we still have the pledge drive going on. So if you folks haven't become members, please pick up the phone and give us a call. It only takes a few brief moments. And you can just be part of the family. Had another interesting question here that hit the mailbag. And like I said, if you folks can't get into it, or if you're listening to the this on the podcast, you can email us, and we do answer questions. You know, quite often I don't have the time to answer to each individual, and we print them off here and try to get to as many as we can. But this person had, thanks for your help on this, and they give us an error message, and it's plain and simple, we can't do anything with it because all it is a bunch of numbers. It doesn't tell me what it's in. Take a look, Steve. And you know, we'd love to help, but
error message 0x800042D cannot get new updates. Your fix on the link solved the problem. Oh, so
they're saying thank you.
Yeah, it's a thank you note. Remember, a couple of weeks ago, we got a question from someone who couldn't install new Windows updates.
I read it so quickly, I thought.
Yeah.
So it's actually good news.
Yep, the fix that we...
we did one?
Yep.
Damn, I'm writing that one down.
Yeah,
what email address
What did we give them for an answer? We'll put that in our book.
We found a link at Microsoft. A lot of times a corrupt update will prevent new updates from coming in. And
we found
a link at Microsoft on how to clear corrupt updates.
Oh, good.
And, yeah, and how do they email in, Dave?
If you just go to the Soundbites webpage at soundbites.org, and we have a button there that you can then ask your question, and it's forwarded to the Soundbites crew, and usually I print them off every week, and we try to get to as many as we can. Like I said, we don't always have the time with so much other stuff going on. Oh, we have what they call lives once in a while, but we do bring them in here and try to get to as many as we can. Some of them, I'll admit, you know, if they're a quick one, I will get to. But for the most part, we like to read them here. So you folks realize that we are answering questions, and it's not just going to some black hole. That, you know, yeah, sure, the guys will never get back to me. You know, and they just sit there and delete, delete, delete. No, we take the time, you know, just like we're here every Saturday answering your computer questions. We try to grab these off. And, you know, like I said, we won't always give you a response via email.
There's no guarantee we'll get to it, but
yeah,
we'll try.
We give it our best darn effort. And, I mean, you know, we've been doing this for over 20 years, folks. You know, it's and what we figured out, how much? Over 100 years of knowledge?
Yeah. Because we're old.
Speak for yourselves, guys.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah, I'm not the youngest one here today, this week.
I say between him and Rab.
Unless you ask my wife, she'd say I'm old. But
yeah,
no, I got sacks older than you. Get out. That just doesn't happen. But let's see. Speaking of questions, let's go to one more here. Since we're on a roll, Windows 7 Premiere.
What's the name?
Oh, okay. This is Kathy from Ontario, and her problem. She's running Windows Home 7, 32-bit, and she got the typical 3 gig. She could, which is okay because 32 gig. That's most it'll see. A DVD burner, 6 USB ports. Problem. New computer built. I should check system.
Read it aloud, Dave. We're on the radio.
Well, this one, no.
No, too long?
Yeah, well, too long, and I'm just trying to... I think she's confused on what she's trying to put
it,
and I don't want it to...
Okay.
Yeah.
You know,
that's normal.
Yeah. Some people give you way too much detail and never get to the problem.
Well, and a lot of people give you way too little.
Way too little detail and don't tell you what the problem is.
Oh, what they did, basically...
It don't work is not enough.
Yeah. What they did is...
Does
they
it
put,
sit on the couch?
Well, they put in a USB stick. Okay.
Okay.
And they said wrong format. Reformatted the stick to NTFS.
All right.
To get the message not a valid backup location. USB sticks shouldn't be formatted as NTFS. They should just be plain fat.
Fat, yeah, right.
So what she might want to do is reformat that USB stick back to fat 32.
Right.
Because with fat 32, NTFS can read it. Whereas if you take and put it to NTFS and say I put it on a stick and I hand it over to Steve, he can it's going to have trouble.
We can read NTFS, but we can't write NTFS on the Mac.
Whereas
easily.
If it's fat,
there's programs to do
yeah,
it. Yeah.
It's,
fat 32 is sort of the generic format that any computer can read.
And even older machines. If I take it back to an old Pentium 2 or 3, it can still read fat.
Yep, we ran.
There's nothing bad about that.
Yep, and on a smaller drive, and 16 gigs is the small drive now. On a smaller drive, FAT32 is fine. It doesn't need the NTFS. NTFS is more efficient at storing files than FAT32, but it's not needed at that smaller drive size. We actually ran into a problem with a customer a while ago. They had a flash drive, and they were trying to copy pictures onto it, and they were getting an error message that the disk was full. But it said it still had a gigabyte of free space on it, but we were still getting this disk full error message. And we finally figured out that the flash drive was formatted as FAT12.
FAT12?
FAT12. Very, very old, very old.
Where'd
format.
They find FAT12? It was
like a 2-gig flash drive and formatted FAT12, and there's a limitation that you can only have 127 files at the root of the drive.
Yes,
so he was trying to copy the 128th file, and it wouldn't copy, and the error message was incorrect. You know, it's the disk wasn't full, the directory was full.
Right.
So you just make a folder, and then that folder can have any number of files in it. But at the root, the very top level of the drive, it was limited to 127 files.
Yeah, that's a big problem with error messages. You know, they tell you what's been affected by the problem, but they don't really tell you necessarily what the problem specifically is.
And the programmers can't always guess every possible error. And so sometimes it's just the last one in the table that pops up.
Sure.
Yeah. Although sometimes you get error messages that tell you the problem, and people still don't know what to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they don't have a clue.
We get quite a few people will come in and say, I got a message that said my disk was full and I should delete some files. What do I do? Delete some files? Wait, well, and then the question
they
is,
know which ones,
right, what
right.
files do I delete?
What's
and
safe,
I
what's
don't
not.
Know. You know, you have to delete something you don't need.
Yeah, well, that's...
Or you get a bigger disk.
Which is, you know...
Actually, I had a customer this week that ran into that and found out that he'd been faithfully backing up his mail database, which was good, but his mail database was 4 gigs and he had 10 copies of it.
Oh, good.
So we cleaned 40 gigs off his hard drive real quick.
When people call me and they've got that kind of problem, like the first couple of things I think of are delete very large email attachments.
Yep.
And... Oftentimes, at least on the Mac, a lot of people that are using iTunes to subscribe to podcasts, sometimes they'll say, I want to have all of the episodes of this. So they may have been listening to a podcast that comes out, 3 times a week, but they've been listening to it for 2 years. And, you know,
and
it fills up the drive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure. And you don't really think about it because, you know, just like a magazine subscription that comes to your house, you don't think about it when you're getting it from the mailbox. But when you go and put them all on the big year-long stack of magazines you've got in your house, suddenly you realize that it's taking up a lot of space.
I've seen a couple of cases where a log file has gone wild.
Sure.
And eaten up all the hard drive space. And those are hard to find. But on Mac and Windows, you can do a find and search for files greater than 1 gigabyte, for example.
Yeah. I've got a fantastic tip, and I know we've talked about this at CIDR, too. There's a great Mac utility that's free called Grand Perspective.
Yep.
And what it does is it will scan a folder or an entire drive, if you tell it to, and it will create a graphic on your screen. And it's kind of hard to explain this on the radio, but it produces a graphic on your screen, and each individual file that's on your drive is represented by a little rectangle. And the bigger the file is, the bigger the rectangle is. So for people who are very visually oriented, this is a great way to see that big movie that you downloaded from iTunes that might be eating up several gigs of space, and you're just not quite sure, you know, where did all my hard drive space go? This puts it in, you know, black and white in graphical terms in front of you.
Yep. Mm-hmm. There's another one I like also called Disk Inventory.
Yep, that's a good one too.
Yep.
Yeah, we have a link on the Soundbites page. It'll sit there and tell folks how to get rid of the temp files and that type of stuff. So that's usually the biggest culprit within Windows. You know, and folks say, well, why do they do that? Why do I have to do that? It's quite a bit of it. It's just lazy programmers.
Yeah, the temp
they don't
files,
clean
temp
up
files and cache files are supposed to be automatically cleaned out. Sometimes they're not.
A lot of times they're not.
A lot of times they're not, yeah.
One thing I'd like to congratulate Cheryl. Cheryl called in with a pledge, and I want to thank you for being a member of the Soundbites crew. We really appreciate it. Thank you very much. That's one, but we could use some more. Got some folks here still waiting if you want to pick up the phone and dial 966-5299 1-800-790-0415 or securely on the web. Rob's just sitting there at home, feet up on the couch, you know, eating bonbons and everything else. You know, make them work. Go to the jazz901.org website and securely make a pledge and help support member support at Jazz 901. Because like I've said before, we get no government money, folks. You know, it's all due to you folks. So pick up the phone and please give us a call.
All righty, let's go back to the news for a minute. Hackers are trying to exploit illegal downloading fears. A company called F-Secure, which is a security researcher, are saying that hackers are exploiting the controversy surrounding illegal downloading fears in a bid to steal credit card numbers and credit card details. This security vendor identified a Trojan horse that attempts to get PC users to believe an anti-piracy foundation scanner has found illegal files on their computer. So a warning pops up on your screen every time you boot the computer, encouraging you to fork over $400 to the ICCPP Foundation in a pre-trial settlement to cover copyright holder fines. It also claims to refuse to pay the fine will result in a jail sentence. So basically, these new warning messages, we're sort of calling them scareware, a new message will pop up on your screen saying that we have found illegal software on your computer, and you're going to pay us a fine, or we're going to send you to jail. And enough people are falling for it that the bad guys can make some money. So the gang behind this attack has already got a very large botnets at their disposal. So already infected computers are sending out these messages for people to get caught by. And it's a lot of the same sort of thing we get with fake email messages and fake anti-spyware, fake virus messages. So F-Secure is advising that web users that have been infected to use an antivirus program, which is sort of a, I guess. Everyone should be using an up-to-date antivirus program. But the attacks are getting more and more sophisticated now. We're getting these scareware messages and hostageware messages, and it's more of an organized attack trying to steal money.
Okay, let's see. Is John, you there, John? Nope, we lost it.
That echoes back, so there's something weird. You pushed the wrong button somewhere, Dave. I don't know. Is the echo... we're not running the IRC chat because we don't have Nick here with us. But is that? I wonder if that echo is going out over the air.
I suppose people could call
All right, let's try John again. Go ahead, John.
Hi. Hey, guys. Good morning. Listen, I have a question for you. I'm looking for a program or utility I can run that will tell me what my computer is doing when it goes into its little fits of rage during startup. I've tried Task Manager, but I find, I think, quite often, many programs that are actually running in the background are not listed properly there. And I was just wondering if you guys knew of any program that I can run that kind of helped me diagnose exactly what my computer is doing, especially during startup when it just kind of takes its time and won't respond for a good 4 or 5 minutes until everything's settled down.
Have you danced a tango?
Yes, I danced a tango.
Okay.
There is, what is it, Black Viper?
Yeah.
Did they have, there's a couple of process utilities that go into more detail than Microsoft's Process Manager.
I'm just wondering if it could be, you know, everything in the MSConfig.
Yeah, you can look through your MSConfig and find lists of all the programs that are running. The Task Manager should show you what those processes are. You may have
sometimes
to go into an all-users mode where it will show you processes from other users as well.
There's a great utility that my good friend Adam Croplin told me about called Starter. It's made by a company that produces just this specific type of product. It's at codestuff.tripod.com/products_starter.html.
On our link list in a minute.
We'll get that on the show notes here. I believe it might cost a few dollars, but it does a fantastic job of, number one, telling you what your computer is set to do when it starts up and when you log in. And it gives you the option of disabling or removing some of those things if you determine that they are not what you want.
That sounds perfect. And it's called Starter.
It's called Starter.
Great.
Give it
a shot. I see download buttons, but I don't see any dollar button.
Oh, maybe I'm mistaken. Version 5.6.2.9 is the newest one. And we'll make sure to include those.
That sounds great. I will download that and try that. Thank
you very
much.
Give it a shot and let us know, please.
Okay, well, thank you.
Is Tripod still around? I thought that was one of those old websites that disappeared. What was another one that just disappeared recently?
GeoCities?
GeoCities, yeah. Yahoo shut them down after. They were one of the very first web hosting services on the internet where you could post links and blogs before they were called blogs.
All the blink tag you could stand.
Yeah, blink.
All right, moving right along, let's go ahead and Tony, you're on.
Hi, I got a question for you. You know, I know a little bit about computers, but I got a netbook and I put some pictures on that I took off of a film card out of my camera, and it's on the solid state hard drive in the netbook itself. How do you transfer things from the computer onto, like, a thumb drive? I know it sounds stupid, but I could never figure out how to do it.
Is the netbook running Windows?
XP, yeah.
XP, okay. So typically with XP, you can take just about any flash drive from your favorite department store, office supply store, and plug it in.
Free in a cereal box.
Typically, you'd go to the start menu and then over to My Computer, and it would appear in the listing there.
As a new drive, like drive E, drive F.
Drive E with a colon after it. And you can go and find those pictures. Probably they're in the My Pictures folder, I would believe. And
it depends on where you save them in your PC, but probably in the Pictures folder.
Go ahead.
When I plug it in, it does show up as drive E. And the pictures are HP pictures section or whatever. They have a section where you could email the pictures and all that.
Oh, I see.
Right. You just open both the windows so you can see the window the pictures are in and you can see the window of the flash drive
and just drag
it from one to the other.
Drag it and go. So that should do it for you. Tell you what, give it a shot and let us know, please.
So we got to come up on it.
Sure.
Yep.
Thanks, Tony.
And we've got, Dave, it's 20 after. That'll start in a minute. All right, looks like we got a break that's going to come up in quite a couple of seconds. So we'll let Dave push some buttons, try to do a quick news story. Do we have time for a news story? Nope, there's the music.
Nope.
Stall for that 20 seconds.
Yes, that's all I needed was a quick stall. Did it very good, you know. But, folks, we got to take a short break. Will we... Yeah, really. No lie. Thank you, and stay tuned. We will be right back to take more of your computer questions here on Member Support at Jazz 90.1.
It's America's longest-running computer show. Back to more sound bites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Hi, this is Tom Pethick. Please join me every Monday evening from 6 to 9 as we take a journey into jazz. We'll hear music from homegrown jazz musicians such as vibist Joe Locke and the late legendary saxophonist Joe Romano. And, of course, we'll hear music from today's new artists. That's Monday evenings from 6 to 9, right here on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Sound Bites, celebrating 20 years.
Grease Community Broadcasting Incorporated is proud to present Art Loves Jazz 2010, a gala fundraising event to benefit Jazz 90.1. This fifth annual fundraising event will be held Thursday evening, May 20th from 6:30 to 9:30 p.m. with great live jazz from Uptown Groove and the Bob Snyder Trio. There will be a silent auction, a live art auction, and great gourmet food. Art Loves Jazz 2010 will be held at Artisan Works, located at 565 Blossom Road in Rochester. Artisan Works is a not-for-profit community event space filled with art and other treasures from Rochester and around the world in its 60,000-square-foot gallery. Proceeds from Art Loves Jazz 2010 benefit Jazz 90.1. Tickets are only $30 per person and can be purchased by calling 585-966-2660. That's 966-2660. Or online at jazz901.org. Only a limited number will be sold, so get yours today.
Hi, this is trumpeter Chris Bodie, and I want to remind you that April is Jazz Appreciation Month. Jazz is probably the first and only true American art form, and it's comprised primarily of instrumentalists, and it's something that I've been very passionate about, getting young people to pick up a trumpet, to pick up a cello or a piano. And one thing that can really aid them in that quest to find out about music is to see music live. So parents, if you're hearing this, please don't be afraid to take your kids to see a live jazz concert. Believe me, it'll change their life, and it'll ensure that that American art form still has the funding and the fuel that it needs emotionally to make it through the next so many years. And jazz is born in America and enjoyed worldwide.
You can only reach certain people through things like Facebook and MySpace. So for radio, it's great because it pushes us up to a new level and really just opens up opportunities for us that we didn't have before.
New artists like These Green Eyes, reaching new audiences every day where it all happens. Radio. To learn more, go to RadioHeardHere.com.
Hi, this is Charles Benoit. Join me and the entire Smart Set tonight from 5 to 6 right here on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
And like you said, this is member-supported Jazz 90.1, and you're listening to Sound Bites. I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Dennis Worcester.
And we are here to take your questions. You know, pick up the phone and dial 966-5299, 1-800-790-0415. Or if you would, we're asking you folks to help support us. We are still into a pledge drive. So, you know, if you would, if you got a computer question, we're still going to take those also. But, you know, if you can, take the time, you know, and become a member, because we really need your help. We're so close, and we just got to go a little bit further. I'd love to beat the polka guys again. We're not quite there yet. You know, we're getting close, and it'd be really cool if we could walk in here, because walked in here this beginning of our show.
You guys were strutting right in.
Yeah, strutting right in, and it's like the polka guys said, "You guys did good last week." I go, "Thank you. We love that." Because they went out of here kind of smug that, "Oh, we did this," and we go, "Yep, and we did better." And it's just because of our listeners. We got some fantastic listeners all over the U.S. that are not only listening to us, you know, right here live on the radio, but through the stream and everything else. You know, we're getting out to more and more folks, because that's what we tell each week, folks. You know what? Do us a favor. Tell a friend about us. You know, we are the longest-running computer show in the known world. We're longer than Kim Komando and the rest of them. You know,
sure.
We've been here, and we've been doing this for, like I say, 20-plus years and still cranking. So, you know, pick up the phone, give us a call, 966-5299, 1-800-790-0415, and we'll get to you.
We had a note in the Ustream chat room that the Seneca Park Zoo is offering a recycling day tomorrow from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. $10 for TVs or CRTs, free paper shredding, and $2 a pound for alkaline batteries. So if you're looking to recycle your electronics tomorrow at the Seneca Park Zoo.
Yeah, we definitely recommend that rather than putting it at the curb.
Yep. Okay, I think we had another caller. Caller, are you still there?
Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Oh, hi. My name is Joe.
Hey, Joe.
Hi. Have you guys been getting bombarded by people calling you about AVG causing problems with connections to the Internet? I do some computer repairs, and I put AVG on every computer. And
same with me.
I have gotten so many calls with people can't connect, and in fact, it even happened to me. And I, after going through all the troubleshooting, I called Frontier. It was okay on their end. I got rid of Zone Alarm. It was fine, still fine. It still had the problem.
There was a bug in Zone Alarm that interacted with AVG.
Well, there's a tool going around right now, Joe, nasty Trojan out there. It's called AVE.exe.
Mm.
And that's, you know, again, trying to take, as a matter of fact, I had it on mine, and it wound up taking out my AVG.
Well, this didn't take out AVG. This all happened after a specific update that AVG required a restart. And right after that restart is when all the problems started happening. So I uninstalled AVG. Everything was fine. I reinstalled AVG, and everything was fine. And as soon as it took that update again, it jammed everything up. So I've been switching everybody over to Avast.
Yeah, Avast is another good.
That happens every now and then with
this has been about,
most...
going on for about a month now.
Yeah. It happens every now and then with most of the antivirus programs, the firewall programs too. Zone Alarm has had issues. Every now and then, some update affects something else. You know, the interaction between hundreds of programs in the system, and they'll probably fix it in the next version.
I sure hope so.
Yep.
It's crazy.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Oh yeah. Well, that's
it's the catch-22. They're trying to protect the data that's coming in from the internet, and sometimes it goes a little overzealous and stops all data.
Yeah,
you just want to stop the bad data and let the good data in.
And the thing is, I was going to try to monitor it and see if they did come out with a fix. So I turned off the automatic updates in AVG, and for some reason, it still brought that update in. I don't understand it. So I haven't used it since about two, three weeks now. I'll just have to wait and see if they do have a fix for that.
That is why.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is why, you know, switching over to Avast isn't a bad idea. And then they'll have their problems, and you switch back to something else.
Right. There you go.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, guys. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks, Joe.
I always like the Avast lady when your virus definitions have been updated.
Yes.
A little scary at, you know, 2 a.m. when the computer runs, but.
Oh, come on, guys. If it was Majel Barrett doing the voice, you know, from Star Trek.
Yeah, they should have got Majel Barrett.
Yeah, that's one thing I'm going to do, too, because I've had it running on my laptop for quite a while. My one laptop, I got the Windows 7 32-bit on that, but I'm going to tear down my machine Monday. That's my goal Monday. In the afternoon, tear it down and put Windows 7 64-bit Pro on it because, like I say, I've gotten that AVE in there.
Yep.
And I don't know where the heck the redirect is going because I can click on it and I'm not seeing any redirects, but this nasty little thing has crawled into my machine, and thank God, hopefully the idiots out there aren't listening to us, but back in the day, we used to always have to worry if you got something that it would propagate out to your whole network.
Sure.
At least the Trojans and that stuff, for the most part, are staying isolated within its own computer. They haven't luckily, you know, said, oh, well, spread it to every other machine on your network and not seeing much of that. But, yeah, I got this one in there, and darn thing, it's just, heck with it. It's Microsoft's way of telling me, yeah, you need to reformat this machine and, you know, board anyway. So, yeah, I'm going to take it down this coming week and just put Windows 7 64-bit on because, like I've been telling you folks, you know, I was not a very big fan of Windows Vista at all. I rated that right up there with Windows Hemi, which, you know, I'd definitely take any disk out to a firing range and just blow it up just for the fun of it.
What was the acronym people used? Viruses, insecurity, Trojans, reboot, always. Yeah. Vista.
And ME was just many errors.
Yep.
And the two of them were comparable. You know, and I constantly keep hearing folks say, you know, because I'll tell them, upgrade to Windows 7. Get rid of Vista. Yeah, well, it's not that old. Yeah, it's not that old, but, oh, it was a piece of junk. It was should have been shot the day it was brought out. So, you know, do yourself a favor. You know, you want things working a little bit better, a little bit smoother, and backwards compatibility. You know, I know they sit there and say, well, you know, we got to keep moving on. Yeah, I understand that. But at the same token, not everybody just has, you know, hundreds of bucks just laying around that they can afford to get the latest and greatest. Some folks really have to just make do with what they got. Yeah. And I had one client, matter of fact, just last week, he finally moved from his Pentium 2 that I built him over 9 years ago, I think it was, to a newer machine. He's going, oh, this is fast. Yeah.
Yep.
But, you know, I mean, again, but it served its purpose.
And right. It's always tough when you're telling a customer it's going to be $300-$500 to fix your PC. Or buy a new one for $300-$500.
Yeah, that's one thing I won't do. You know,
you know what I always tell people? People ask me that all the time. Should I get a new computer if I come in over to their house or to their business to fix something? They say, you know, at what point should I consider that? And there's a lot of things that I've read on the internet about what to do, but I've always come back to this. I said, never use a computer that's older than your car. And and I say that, you know, after thinking about it, because there's a lot of people who are willing to put up with, you know, in their car, maybe a window that doesn't roll down or a power door lock that doesn't work quite right. And people are, there are people that really want their car to work all the time, just right every time. So the people that are willing to put up with some of those slight annoyances, they can put up with having a computer that's slightly older. But, you know, so don't use a computer that's older than your car, and it'd be least annoyance for everybody.
When I was a kid, we had an old beat up car that, that my brother and I would drive around and it would get to the point where it would need repairs. And, you know, a couple $300 in repairs. And my dad would say, oh, well, let's sell it. You know, get rid of it. You know, the old beat-up car. Well, we can't sell it now because it's got problems. So let's fix it first, and then we'll sell it. And then once we fixed it, it's working now. Yeah, why sell it?
Yeah,
it's good enough to use now.
It's getting me from point A to point B. Why? Yep. You know, wait. And then until it breaks again, and then.
So eventually those repair bills would have paid for a new computer. Or what we see a lot of times, it's getting worse in the Mac world, that you want to buy the new piece of software, and it won't run on your computer that's 3 or 4 or 5 years old.
Sure.
And now we're seeing that the Adobe Creative Suite 5 they just announced
right.
is Intel only.
Yep.
So if your Mac is more than 4 years old, it cannot run CS5, and you need to get a new version. And then people who have... They might have had some of the first Intel machines from 3 or 4 years ago, or even the Power Mac G5s that were really, really fast back then.
Oh, yeah,
the Quad G5s, they're really, really fast. You cannot buy the operating system upgrades anymore because the current operating system is Intel only. And so we are always getting questions for people who are trying to find, you know, 10.5, the previous version, or 10.4.
In fact, I called you a couple of weeks ago looking for that exact thing.
And you know, a lot of times dealers will have some left over, but Apple stopped making it, you know, 4 years ago, and it's just very hard to find. And now you cannot buy the new software to run on your old computer, and you're sort of stuck in the point where you have to keep your old software or buy a new computer. And it's very, very frustrating for people. It's not quite as bad in the Windows world because there's so much pressure from businesses to keep XP. Even though Windows 7 is the current version, you can still find XP places.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's used often in embedded tools or vertically integrated markets like medical or healthcare and billing and that kind of thing.
And especially bigger in the enterprise worlds, you know, somebody like Kodak might have 50,000 PCs. They're not going to upgrade them all to Windows 7.
No. Well, yeah, not without a healthy cut.
Yeah.
Well, like I say, you know, everybody just can't afford to, you know, drop the – and especially, you know, like with the, say, Microsoft Office.
Mm-hmm.
I still, in some cases, still use Word 97.
Yep.
It does basic typing.
Well, now the big problem.
I've got a whole rant about Office.
Yeah, the big problem is the .docx
Open
format.
Office.
Well, exactly. Well, .docx, it was like, how did it start? It was like a lawsuit against Microsoft that said, you know, there's a lot of competitors that want to be able to read and write Microsoft Word format. And they wanted to be able to do that. And Microsoft said, no, well, that's kind of, you know, our format. And they apparently went to court and lost the case. So they said, no, you need to create an open format. So Microsoft said, sure, we'll go ahead and do that. We'll call it DocX. It's based on an open format called XML. And what ends up happening is all my clients who have the older version say, we're getting all these files from these other people we deal with that are these DocX files. How do we open them? And I have to say, well, you can get a converter that sort of works sometimes, or you can blow several hundred dollars to do the same thing you were doing last week.
Or tell the person that wrote it to export it as an old Word document.
Yeah, there's a lot of political reasoning why people don't want to pick up the phone and make that happen.
Yeah, well, you know, like I say, or they can just go to simply...
not a technical problem. I can't solve that.
You know, yeah, just get OpenOffice.
Try OpenOffice.
That's
Office,
free,
yeah.
And hello, that even will put out PDFs.
Yeah.
No version of Word does that.
For some of the very complicated Word files, and especially very complicated Excel spreadsheets that have a lot of macro programming in them, you just have to have the latest version of Excel. And it's very frustrating for people that have bought older machines. Now, for home users, Microsoft has been a little kind. They have the home and student version of Office, which is $150, and it comes with three licenses.
Yeah.
So you can install that on three computers in your house.
Right.
So $50 a license isn't bad for Office.
Yeah, I wonder.
But if you're in a business, it's $400 minimum for Microsoft Office.
That must have been Gates's wife.
Well, no, it's
for that. You know, come on, we got to give the families a little break because it's
the cocaine model of marketing.
Get them hooked.
Yeah, you get them hooked on the cheap stuff, and then when they get into a business, you have to sell them the expensive one.
And when kids are in college, they can usually get the discounted student and academic versions significantly
$25-$50.
All right, RIT student license version of Office is $7.
Yeah,
really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Get out.
But when you leave school, you're supposed to stop using it and buy your own version.
And that happens how many times do you think?
Yeah.
None. I mean, let's face it.
That's actually a big thing we run into in the retail business is we cannot compete with academic software pricing.
Mm-mm.
The Adobe Creative Suite we mentioned earlier, their master collection is $2,500. I think it's like $300. Academic.
Right.
So if you want to buy software, go to your school bookstore. If you're not a student, sign up for a night class to get your student ID.
Well, I had a client that was having their kid go, I think it was Oswego.
Yeah.
And they wanted me to order, you know, all this Microsoft Office package. And I said, no, don't.
Yeah, wait till you get there.
Wait till you get there. Well, I wanted it on there. I said, trust me. If they can sit there and follow instructions, you just put the DVD in, and it will load it. All she's going to have to do is put in the key code.
Yep.
I'm sure she can handle this. She's installed all this other software.
She got accepted to college. She can probably do that.
This is not brain surgery. You really think so?
If they were insistent and you did sell them the $150 version, they'll come back and bite you because we got to school and it was $10. I want my money back.
Yeah.
Well, you've opened the software. We can't return it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That's the thing. You know, you got to watch what you are doing there. And like I say, you can save some serious money. And if you're not a big high-end user, like you say, with the macros in the spreadsheets or have to have all this special formatting, like we've said before, check out OpenOffice, folks. Folks will not know any different. If you create a Word document and send it on to somebody, whether they're using WordPerfect, any flavor of Windows Word, they're going to be able to pull it in.
In fact, I was thinking of this morning when Nick sent me the news that he wrote. It came as a doc file, and my Microsoft Word just happened to open it because it's a Word file. I know he created it in OpenOffice on his Unix machine,
right?
And
maybe his Droid.
Yeah, my Mac just saw it was a doc file. Oh, okay, and I happen to have Microsoft Word, so it just opened it.
Okay, folks. Those tunes tell us we got to take a short break. But, you know, hey, if you got a computer question, pick up the phone. Give us a call. You know the numbers, 966-5299, 1-800-790-0415. And you are listening to member-supported Jazz 901.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Ladies and gentlemen, y'all ready for the blues?
If you're ready for some blues, look no further than Sunday nights. I'm Greg Lefebvre, your host for Doc's Juke Joint. Every Sunday from 7 till 10, part of our 5 hours of blues on Sunday nights. On the Juke Joint, you'll hear new blues, classic blues, and our extensive music calendar. Dig the blues on Sunday nights on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Celebrating 20 years on air, Soundbites on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
New artist, Miami, talks about radio.
Yeah, I like it because it puts on something. You discover new people that way. It's nice to just hear and the surprise of what's going to come next. You know, sometimes you like to control your own, and sometimes it's nice to just listen and, like, get surprised, you know, by what comes on.
The wrong way is the right direction.
The best place to discover new artists like Miami is always on the radio. Go to RadioHeardHere.com.
Every day we make sure we get things done to keep ourselves on track, to live the way we want to live. And every day we make choices, large and small, that reflect who we are, from the clothes we buy to the car we drive to where we choose to live. If you enjoy Jazz 90.1, make the choice to become a member. And once a year, renew that membership. See how it feels. It just might be one more small but important choice you make to live the way you want to with Jazz 90.1.
Hi, I'm Phil Dodd, and I think you'll like the mix of music I play every weekday afternoon. I play today's best artists as well as the classic performers who made jazz America's own special art form. I also feature the standards, songs that have stood the test of time and are constantly being reinvented by jazz musicians. So please join me, Phil Dodd, noon to 3, Monday through Friday, right here on Jazz 90.1.
Hey, this is Rip Savage. Join me tonight for Fusion, 10 p.m., right here on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
And welcome back, folks. This is Soundbites, and I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Dennis Worster.
And we're here to take your computer questions. Like I say, pick up the phone. We still got some time. 966-5299, 1-800-790-0415. What else we got there in the news there, Steve?
AMD is really kicking things up in the desktop
world. I
want
one of those.
AMD's upcoming 6-core Phenom 2 X6 processors for desktops are already showing up in online retail stores.
I'll beta test one
ahead of the chip's official launch. Online retailer ProVantage is already taking orders for the 6-core Phenom 2 XT1090T. processor, which runs at 3.2 gigahertz. And Nick teases us Mac guys about our version numbers.
Yeah, what, did a cat crawl across the keyboard on that one?
Yeah. the chip is listed as a Phenom processor and is priced at $318. AMD's logo is on the page. But AMD has not officially announced it yet. Another online retailer, Howard Technology Solutions, is offering the same chip for around $350. They also have the 6-core Phenom 2 X6-1055T, which runs at 2.8 gigahertz, for $250.
I want one.
So these 6-core chips, there's a lot of rumors that Apple's going to be updating their Power Macs, the Mac Pro Tower, with 6-core Intel processors. And so computers that have two of these 6-core processors will have 12 processor cores. So it's beware the power of the dodecahedron. so we've got the
I'd still like to have that issue. Yeah. Just to, you know,
quad processors and octo processors. Now the dodeca processors, and then some of the rumors are saying that they're going to wait until the 8-core chips come out in a few months, and then we'll have dual 8-core for 16 cores with hyperthreading, gives you 32 virtual cores.
Wow.
Which is interesting because the new MacBooks that came out this week,
right.
I guess we should notice that, Apple updated their MacBook Pro line using the, the Woodbine processor? The latest Nehalem architecture, 32-nanometer Nehalem architecture, running dual processors. The 15 and 17 inches have the Core i5 and Core i7s in them. Also with hyper-threading and Turbo Boost and all the super whiz-bang. So now we have multi-core laptops. But they also have the new NVIDIA GeForce 320 graphics card in them and the 330 graphics card on the higher-end models. And the graphics card has 48 cores. in the graphics processor.
My goodness.
So the CPU only has 2 cores, and the graphics processor has 48 cores. So really, really fast graphics on the models. Interestingly, though, the 15-inch is a little higher priced at the low end and the high end. The middle one is the same price. But the price went up a little bit, and the on the 17-inch, the price has gone down a little bit. What's interesting, though, is that these new i5 processors run at a slower clock speed than the Core 2s. But the chip itself is faster, so it's like downshifting into, upshifting into fifth gear. Your RPMs go down, but your speeds go up. So it's we've been saying this now, it's been an issue for several years now. Clock speed doesn't matter as much in processor speed.
Well, that's what I was saying before. Because folks will say, and that's why I still like the AMD chips. The AMD chips over the Intel. Only because, you know, you can take two equivalent chips, say Intel versus AMD. And what, you know, they're the exact same speed, say a 3.2. But yet, the AMD has incorporated doing one more task per cycle. Thus, you know, that's when they got into the plus. So technically, they can't say it's any faster, but it is technically doing more. What I mean by that, folks, is say the Intel is doing 1,000 tasks per millisecond. The AMD is doing 1,001. It's that one more task per millisecond that, you know, helps make it smoother.
And one of the things Intel has put into their chips is a Turbo Boost. So if you're running a four-core machine and your program isn't using all 4 cores, the chip will shut down 2 of the cores and run the other 2 cores faster. And then their hyper-threading technology lets 2 instructions run in each core, so it doubles the virtual number of cores. So the chip companies are doing more and more things to make their chips faster, while the clock speeds are actually getting slightly slower. Because one of the things the clock speed does is make the chip run hot.
Right.
So by making the clock speeds a little slower, the chips don't run as hot, which means it doesn't need as much cooling. And also it saves on the battery life. And that's a big thing now. The new Macs, the battery life has actually gone up a couple hours. So their big thing in the last refresh was an 8-hour battery life. And now they're saying 10 hours on the 13-inch and 9 hours on the 15-inch.
Well, that's always been an issue with all of them, PC and Mac. You know what I mean? Every device, they'd like to have more and more time on the battery.
Yeah. Right. And actually, that's a big thing on the iPad. Apple was advertising a 10-hour battery life on the iPad. And when most companies release their laptop battery life expectations, they're always underestimating because they don't want to
it's marketing.
Be too long,
it's
too far off. Yeah, but most of the testing on the iPad is showing longer battery life, getting 11 or 12 hours, and that's with video playing. One of the reviews I read, they were doing an audio test, and the audio battery life is about 150 hours. Before you have to recharge it if you're just playing audio. And so this 10-hour battery life, because that's the other thing that the laptop markets usually say. You know, it's a 5-hour, 6-hour battery life. Mm-hmm. Well, that's if you turn off your brightness, turn down your clock speed.
Without qualifiers.
Shut down the processor speed. So if you put all these qualifiers in to slow the thing down and to make it less useful, the battery lasts that long.
If it's completely useless, it lasts forever. Yeah. Right. If you want to make it last forever, just turn it off.
Yeah. You want to turn it into a virtual brick.
Right. So now with fantastic the brightness paper, turned all the way up and running your video, you know, playing video is very processor intensive of decoding the video stream.
Sure.
So now we're getting, you know, real world battery life in that, you know, 10-12 hour range.
Mm-hmm. And in Apple's case, they did it by buying a company that makes chips. You know, they bought essentially like a small Intel or a small AMD, and they have their own clean room and they're making their own chips so that they can make them exactly the way they want.
Yeah. No, it's... Yeah,
and some of the take aparts they've shown of the iPad, it's all battery. It's 95% battery, and then a little tiny logic. The logic board is 4 inches long and about an inch wide.
I was just saying, they could probably do that from the examination of those idiots that broke one apart.
Yeah. Well, actually, who was it? Not iFixit did their take apart.
They did their teardown.
They did a stop motion version.
So it
takes itself
disassembling
apart.
Themselves.
It's really cool. I'll have to put that up as a link.
Yeah, put that up as a link. That would be really cool.
Yep.
Now, I want to remind folks, because we've also had a couple questions brought up on this. You know, a lot of this stuff,
One. I'm sorry, that was Tech Restore did the stop motion.
Oh, okay.
iFixit did the first
did
take
the
apart.
Down,
yeah.
Right.
I want to remind folks, you know, if you do, you're hearing a lot of stuff mentioned every week, you know, on these shows and that. And we can't stress enough, go to our webpage, soundbites.org. We have a lot of the links there. You can listen to a lot of the old shows. We have a complete archives of years gone by of all our shows. You can also see now the Ustreams. We've added that feature. All our links to some of the other stuff that we mention every week here on the show. If we mention a particular program or a particular website, or if we recommend something to somebody, we always put it there and under the I heard this on the show. And if you can, get in there and join the forums. Now, if you folks are joining the forums, do me one favor. I'm getting a lot of robots still, you know, trying to fill and fake me out, thinking that they're a legitimate name. And if you would, just put in there, because folks forget to put in a city and state. And I'm asking anybody, so I'll know right off the bat that you're legit and you've listened to the show. If you sign up for our forums, just put in Soundbites New York.
Yeah, you don't have to put the right city and state, but
no.
Just put something in there.
Well, the thing of it is, though, some of these robots are now getting into legitimate city-state.
Right. It's reading the form and recognizing the address.
Yeah, and they're reading it, and then but I go and look at it, and sure enough, you know, it's their web page that they recommend is, you ain't getting past. Because here's the whole thing. You know, I literally get, and I check this every day, at least twice a day, because it's doubled. On an average of 100 to 150 requests in a day trying to get into our forums. And Nick set it up that they have to get by me. And I literally look through them and make sure they're legit.
And we've run into the same issue in the CIDR forums. And we had to turn off automatic registration because the robots are getting smarter.
That's true.
And so if you folks to help us out, you know, if you want to get in the forums and take part of it, we got a lot of great stuff going on in the forums and you can express your opinions, get other advice you posted there. There's a lot of fantastic folks that also jump in there on the different forums and that type of stuff. Like I say, just so I know you're legit, sign up and just use Soundbites, New York. Because I've had other folks, well, I've waited over 2 weeks and I haven't gotten in. What's taking so long? And I say, okay, what did you use and what city and state you put in? Here's the name. And I go and look, and they didn't put in a city and state. Well, I didn't want to give out too much information. Hello, if I put in Rochester, New York, how the heck am I going to find you?
That's an awful lot of zip codes, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, hello, we're a pretty big city. Or if you put in L.A., California, you know, we're not going to come and hunt you down. I got better things to do with my life than to sit there and worry about it. We're not going to pass your information around. We don't sell it. So, you know, make life easier. In this one area, just put in Soundbites, New York, and that would be fantastic. Let's do another news article.
Well, here's a tip. Speaking of laptop life, if you have a MacBook Air or any other laptop that uses a solid-state drive, you can increase its battery life by forcing it to hibernate instead of sleep. Normally, when you close the lid on your laptop and there's a sleep command built in as well, it will go to sleep and it will go into a low power state. But it still uses some power. So generally, Macs will only hibernate, which means that they store the existing system state to disk and then power off when the battery is almost completely drained. So hibernate is a much lower level than just sleep, which means it uses even less power. So all the other times, they just sleep, and the system state is stored in RAM. So waking from sleep takes a lot less time than waking from hibernate. But if the machine is in hibernation, it will use much less battery life. So by having that machine go fully off instead of just asleep can improve battery life. And having it hibernate instead of sleep can improve battery life as well. There are several utilities available, one called Jinx's Smart Sleep, which installs an extra preference pane in your Mac. And I'm sure there's also similar programs for Windows. You can make it hibernate instead of sleep. So it's not completely off. So it does wake up faster, but it uses much less power than normal sleep. So it's really nice, especially with a solid-state drive. How is your battery life? That was one of the things that solid-state drives were able to claim, that you get much faster drive access and longer battery life because you don't have a spinning drive.
Okay. Well, You know, time goes by fast. Dennis, thank you again, sir, for coming in. I'm sorry.
I am. Yes. I wanted to say thank you. Yeah, it's been fantastic.
Oh, I hope you enjoy it, and thank you for joining in with us and filling in for the Mr. Francesco, who maybe we should take up a fun, you know, maybe bail him out of droid jail there, but, you know, we'll think about it. All right, folks, again, thank you for listening, and, you know, we will be back next year, next week with another great edition of Soundbites. So, you know, put it on one of your presets that, you know, you just hit the button and you're there listening to Soundbites. For Dave Enright, Steve Ray, and Dennis, we thank you very much for listening to Soundbites for this week.
America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, celebrating 20 years. Here are the club calendar highlights for Saturday, April 17th. The Mike Kaupa Quartet plays at the Grill at Strath Allen this evening from 8:30 until 12 midnight. You can catch the East End Jazz Boys at Havana Moe's starting at 9 o'clock. Tom Passamonte and Special Blend will be at Woodcliff Hotel and Spa this evening. If you're looking for blues, Ezra and the Storm play at Rab's Woodshed. The Clams are at Six Pockets. And Dan Schmidt and the Shadows play at Smoke and Joe's. Save the dates for the XRIJF, the Xerox Rochester International Jazz Festival, June 11th through 19th.